This day is a day of memorial, a day for us to consider and reconsider the atrocities perpetrated by those who called upon the name of Adonai Yeshua in order to cause damage to his chosen nation, the Jewish people. Specifically on Yom HaShoah, the day of destruction, we are focused on the greatest crime in history, the Holocaust. However, it is precisely atrocious events such as this which brings to the forefront the question, why do bad things happen to good people? Or in other words, why do the good suffer? Beloved, what a century this is turning out to be. 30 major disasters have shaken the planet and our faith. In January 2001, 30,000 people died in India following a level 7.9 earthquake. Then in September of the same year, over 3,000 died in three separate incidents involving terrorists using commercial airplanes as weapons. In August 2002, 10,000 Europeans died in a record heat wave. In January of 2005, we witnessed 212,000 die in a level 9.7 earthquake in Aceh, India. Most recently, we have experienced killer earthquakes, fires, and devastating droughts around the globe. Why? And then we have the man-made disasters, wars, famine. Haven't we seen enough human cruelty against our own? And still they continue. Since 1978, Afghanistan has seen two major wars with an accumulated death toll of over 2 million. What began as a minor struggle in 1991 broiled up into civil war in Somalia, killing more than 500,000, mainly women and children. About 1.5 million people perished in two wars in Iraq, and the civil war in Syria continues unabated. Is it any wonder more and more people are claiming God is no longer in charge? God is heartless and cruel. There is no God. When was the last time you looked to him with the accusation, how could you allow this to happen? Why did you cause this? When we read of the suffering and devastation occurring around the world, when our radios and newspapers and television are filled with the stories of senseless violence human beings inflict upon one another, when we face major tragedy in our own lives, how do we not look to him for answers? How can we not accuse him of being heartless and uncaring? But is this so? Abba Father, our great and mighty Yahweh, when we reach devastation, when we reach disaster, when we face tragedies in our world, in our countries, in our own lives, we come to you for answers. As human beings, we cannot live without knowing why. And many times, the why eludes us. And many times, you are silent to our requests for answers. And yet we still ask. We still plead with you to know why. Abba, I pray that some of those answers to why may be found in your message to us today. B'shem Yeshua Moshechenu. Amen. Often when faced with painful realities of our existence, we do feel vulnerable and alone. We do feel the anxiety of believing personal suffering is not far off, if it has not already struck us. And how are we to handle it? All of us have known three things: the long night of suffering, sometime during our lives. We are in that period of pain right now, or we agonize over the suffering within the world. We cannot help but feel these deeply, especially when the suffering are those close to us. We may hear the anguish of suffering in the word of the writer of Psalm 42. My tears have been my food day and night, while men say to me all day long, "Where is your God?" I say to God, my rock, "Why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, 'Where is your God?'" These are not the glib words of a bystander. These are the heart-wrenching cries of a captive being dragged to Damascus from his beloved Jerusalem to endure excruciating exile for 70 years. What are the questions you ask our beloved Abba? Where are you when I suffer? Did you send this as punishment? Why do I deserve this? Are you giving these trials, sickness, accidents, disaster to discipline me? Must I accept this as your will? How can you be a loving God if you allow this to happen? We try, as did the tormented Kafka, to see through the thickness of things, or to understand our feelings, as with Camus, when we bump into the hopeless encounter between human questioning and the silence of the universe. Is it any wonder our plaintful cry is hurled heavenward? Why have you forgotten me? No biblical character suffered more than Job. Job was a righteous man. We know this clearly. Having been blessed by Adonai for his faithfulness, Job was tested to strengthen his faith. His wealth left him. He lost his children and his home. He was taunted by others around him. And then there were his close friends, who claim he must have done something to deserve this, since Adonai Elohim Tzevaot does not hurt the innocent. We'll come back to Job shortly, because we need to explore the perplexing question: why do the good, the faithful, suffer? Let me be perfectly clear. There is no such thing as an accident. Nothing happens without a cause. Inattention, carelessness, neglect, either ours or others. Take the ongoing crime activity in Winnipeg. There are many gangs competing for prominence. Why? The response to this is not an easy one. There are many factors that help explain this violence. But one thing is clear. We as a society are not willing to assume the cost required to ensure our disaffected and disenfranchised youth are provided the stability and security that comes with belonging to a caring and nurturing community. This is most evident in our lack of resolve to end physical, verbal, emotional, and cyberbullying in our communities and in our schools. Until we take a clear stand and are willing to be firm in our demands that human life is of value, no matter what age, then we must accept that the violent will always be among us, and we must assume the consequences of our apathy and our lack of godly regard for others. But that doesn't explain the almost epidemic incidence of life-threatening cancer. I believe everyone listening today has been touched by this plague, either personally or within our families. But why has this happened? In 2004, the National Cancer Institute claimed most of the cases of cancer are linked to environmental causes and, in principle, can be prevented. Look to our diets in North America, high in junk and carcinogenic. Lack of exercise and a rising incidence of morbid obesity, chemical pollutants being spewed into the air through our cars and manufacturing. No wonder cancer kills more people in Canada today than any other cause, reports the Canadian Cancer Society. If we are responsible for much of the disease we experience due to our lifestyles, that doesn't explain why so many people perish as a result of natural disasters that are directly within God's control. Why does He allow us to suffer so? Could He not intervene and protect us? There are many responses to this heartfelt plea. One of these is found in our God-given freedom. We have been given the freedom to make choices through the awesome expression of Jehovah's love for us. Within that freedom of choice, however, is the responsibility to accept consequence. For example, why were so many killed during the recent earthquakes in Ecuador and Nepal? Could it be the shoddy construction of homes, hospitals, and schools? Could it be the deforestation of the hillsides for construction materials and heating fuel, allowing tons of mud and rock to come hurtling down upon an unsuspecting population? But let's not become bogged down with the blame game. The one thing we know is we have abused the freedom Adonai gave us to be wise stewards of our planet. The reality is the life given to us by Adonai includes freedom of choice. Choice involves risk, and risk involves danger. An ancient Jewish philosopher tells us we cannot appreciate happiness unless we know sorrow. Joy would be meaningless to us unless we experience sadness. And there would be no understanding of love without pain. It's not that these dichotomies are definitions. Rather, they are required elements of reality. If we lived in a pain-free existence, how would our souls ever develop the fiber necessary to live an eternal life? Does this mean Adonai Elohim wants us to suffer just for the sake of suffering? Remember Job? Let's return to him. Even though Job was a righteous man and counted as such by Adonai when he experienced severe trial, he grew resentful. Job felt he was not being properly recognized for his righteousness. He had suffered much and felt abandoned by Yahweh. He was hurt, and that hurt turned to resentment. Is that how you feel when faced with trial and tribulation? Are you filled with rage towards Yahweh when you encounter evil in this world? I know many who are, some in my own family. But listen to Job again, as he claims in chapter 23, verse 10. But He knows the way that I take. When He has tested me, I will come forth as gold. Each one of us who believes in Adonai Yeshua will be tested at some time, or quite probably several times during our lives, if we haven't been already. This is the only way we can, as Job tells us, come forth as gold, to live our eternal lives in the presence of Yahweh.
Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my light and my salvation. Of whom shall I be afraid? The Lord is my light and my salvation. Of whom shall I fear? The Lord is my light and my salvation. Of whom shall I be afraid?
Yeah.
light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I be afraid?
We may also find solace in these words from Shimon Kefa, the Apostle Peter, as we read in 1 Peter 4, verses 12 to 13. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Messiah, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. Although speaking specifically about the trials faced for faith, Peter's words may also apply to us who suffer physically in this fallen world. You may wonder why Yahweh does not directly intervene to spare us from the cruelty that comes upon us. After all, we are his beloved children. How can any father sit back and watch as his children encounter injustice, unfairness, and pain, even to the point of death, and not intervene? Adonai Yeshua helps us understand a little of this when he told us, as the rain falls on the saved and the unsaved alike. If he were to intervene during our trials, where would be the growth we need to experience? Trials are called trials because they stretch us in areas we need to grow, and they are usually painful physically and spiritually. I've often heard it said we live in a random world, a world with neither purpose nor fairness. As such, it is called a cruel world. Beloved, this is the world of evolution, the world accepted by those who reject Yahweh and his love. Those who advocate for this are right in saying that there is neither purpose nor fairness to their world, since these two qualities require direction and intelligent creation. However, they are inaccurate in claiming it is cruel. Cruelty is a subjective concept based on the notion of fairness. If our world is random, as these suggest it is, then it cannot be cruel, it cannot be unjust or unfair, it just is. However, the world in which you and I live is not random. It has purpose, and sometimes it lacks fairness. Yes, it can be cruel. These negatives have crept into our world because of sin and moral and physical corruption. Even now, we are seeing the impact of millennia of sin, corruption, and decay affecting even our physical world. Rabbi Shaul most prophetically tells us, we know that until now the whole creation has been groaning as with the pains of childbirth, as we read in Romans 8, verse 22. You may believe these rumblings deep in the earth are random movements without purpose, but recognize they fulfill the prophecy declaring the end is close and the beginning is approaching. Let's listen to the song of Emmanuel, recorded in John 14:1 and 16:33. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in Yahweh, trust also in me. I have told you these things so that in me you may find peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. We know then we will receive trials. Rav Shaul speaks to us about these also. In Romans 8:28, he tells us, and we know that in all things Yahweh works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. And then in verse 29 we read, for those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. The process of sanctification, of being set apart from the world, involves trials. Shimon Kefa tells us in his letter, in 1 Peter 1, verses 6 and 7, "In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Adonai Yeshua, our Messiah, is revealed." However, even though we experience these trials, we must take heart in knowing Yahweh is with us. These trials are destined to create within each one of us a godly character. The trials of temptation will never be more than we can endure. Of this we have been promised, even though at times they seem to have gone beyond our limits. But their purposes are, for as Rav Shaul shares with us, to produce perseverance, character, and hope, as we read in Romans 5, verse 4. And listen to the hope transmitted by Yaakov, the brother of Adonai Yeshua, who writes in James 1, verses 2 to 4 and verse 12, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him." These are the rewards we receive when we journey through the trials in our lives. But we must maintain our fortitude and not give in to the temptation to abandon our love for the one who desires an eternal relationship with us. Our society is composed of those who do not know how to persist through trials. All around us, we are faced with the seductive allure of giving in, desiring instant gratification, and complaining if what we demand is not received immediately, including answers to our questions and our prayers. No wonder there is difficulty in learning how to be patient, to develop perseverance, and become strong in character. I can understand why many of us fall by the wayside, thinking Yahweh has abandoned us. But listen to these words: "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of Yahweh that is in Yeshua Moshechenu, our Lord." Are there any more comforting words than these? Once more, Rav Shaul's words provide comfort for us in Romans 8, verses 38 to 39. "If it appears he has left us, could it be we have moved away? If it appears he has turned his back on us, could it be we have turned our backs on him? There is absolutely nothing we can do to make Yahweh love us any less or any more than he does right now. That is an ironclad guarantee. For our part, though, we must participate in the growth process. This always requires change, and oftentimes change requires trial, involving suffering and pain. How easy it is, though, to be lured into feeling self-pity and play the victim. The consequences of this, however, are steep. We dig our own pit, one that is impossible to climb out alone." Remember what Rav Shaul said to us as we read in Hebrews 12, Let us run with endurance the race that lies before us, keeping our eyes on Adonai Yeshua, the source and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that lay before him endured the execution stake and despised the shame and has sat down at the right hand of God's throne. If we keep our eyes on him, we will endure any trial. Only when we remove our focus from the King of Kings will we cease to walk in his protection. Remember Shimon Kefa when he walked on water towards the Master. Finally, is the suffering we have faced, do face now, or will face in the future a call for surrender? Through the intense physical or emotional pain we experience from time to time, Adonai Elohim Tzevaot is calling to you, to me, to surrender. You are mine. Like a butterfly struggling in its cocoon, we all have the opportunity to cry for deliverance for the anguish we suffer. We all cry for deliverance. Some time ago, I had a short but meaningful visit with a dear friend who was diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. All through our brief time together, I could see my friend's peace as he rested in Yahweh's deep and faithful love for him. George saw this new adventure in his life as a trial, a refining, preparing his soul for whatever our Messiah had in store for him. Oh, to have faith like that in times of heart-wrenching trial. Do I have that kind of faith? Do you? Abba B'Shamayim, when we enter our periods of trial, we very much want your love to surround us. How eager we are to have your strong arms surround us and bring peace into our lives when faced with pain and suffering, ours and others. Adonai Elohim Tzevaot, help us as we face these times of trial and struggle. Help us to accept them with thankfulness and joy, firmly believing they are meant to strengthen us, to draw us closer to you, our Master, our Counselor, and prepare us for another part of our spiritual and physical journey. Baruch Hashem Yeshua Moshechenu, in whose precious name we pray.